listeners and tell us that you do understand what we're trying to do on this program by introducing these special guests. So I'm going to ask Bob Belts and my co-host today to introduce our friends.
Well, we have some real special guests this morning, husband and wife, Sam and Gina Ventola. And Sam and Gina are friends of mine, and they are doing some really cool stuff, and it happens to be connected with the Highline Community Church, the church that I'm the pastor at and that Mark goes to and that Bo used to, but never shows up anymore. So anyway.
We've been going to St. Mattress for about 3 weeks.
I know. Anyway.
You know what that is.
So anyway, Sam and Gene are going to give you a little bit of the background story and then tell you what they're doing. I don't want to steal any of their thunder other than the fact that they were doing something very cool. We decided to embrace it on a little larger level because they were doing all the hard work anyway. But we'll tell you about that. But Sam and Gina, thanks for being with us. And why don't you just kind of give us a little bit of a picture of who you guys are and what it was like growing up, and maybe a little bit about your spiritual journey too.
Well, my young childhood, I grew up in a foster home that was run by my parents in Los Angeles. Slept in the same room with about 40 other guys, and there were 20 or 30 girls in the next room. So it was a little bit of an unusual upbringing.
60 kids in the same foster home situation?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So my mom didn't like that for too long and finally left and brought her natural kids with her here to Denver because she had family here. People ask me if I grew up as a Christian. I'm one of these people who has to say it depends on what your definition is. You know, I knew about the Lord. I believed in the Bible. I believed what happened there. But I was kind of one of these people who thought that God had sort of created the world and just left it alone and didn't interfere with our lives too much after that. So that changed for me when I was when I was in college. I had joined the Army Reserve, and I was first semester. The first summer after college, I went into basic training. And this thing is like 10 weeks, 12 weeks. You're supposed to be able to get it done before you have to go back to college. Well, I had passed everything fine except for the marksmanship. I found out later, two or three years later, that I had a really severe eyesight deficiency. It was nearsighted. I didn't know that at the time. And I couldn't figure out why I couldn't pass this test.
So it's not really good to arm someone that has that condition, by the way.
I think that's what they were thinking. So what I was told is that I would be recycled, which means that you have to come back, do the cycle over again. And it may seem silly now, but that was kind of traumatizing for me at the time. First, because basic training is not fun, but mostly because I had already paid for my second year of college and had paid for the dorms and everything, and I was expecting to go back to college. And the idea that this was going to happen to me was pretty rough at the time. So for the first time in my life, I went to the Lord. And it's funny because the Gideons, you know, they pass out those Bibles to soldiers when they go into basic training. That's probably the best money they get for those little Bibles because, you know, you can carry those around. You carry them with you on time. And I actually been reading while I was there. But I really, I mean, for the first time, I said, this is not in my control. And I was never able to do that before in my life. And so I began to realize the way I've been seeing the world was not biblical, that, you know, God does expect us to have a relationship with him. And so that's when I became a Christian by most people's definitions.
By the biblical definition of what that is.
Right.
That's good. That's good.
Which is what, Bob?
Well, someone that actually has a personal relationship with Christ and has made a commitment to him and opened their lives to him. So it's not simply someone that's grown up in America and gone to church and
loved the Yankees, loved their grandmother, ate apple pie.
That all helps, but, you know. But
it's
not it. That's right. So. Yeah.
So you made a choice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and the end of the story is next test I took, I got expert qualification as a marksman, you know. So, you know, it looks to me like it was a God thing.
So you're saying if you become a Christian and receive Christ, boom, it all works out perfectly.
Well, no, just the marksmanship part, just the marksmanship.
It did in that case. I'm just kidding.
It did that.
Yeah, okay.
That's good. Okay.
Gina, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I'm originally from Florida. If you can believe it, if you look outside today. And I'm the youngest of 10 kids. I have 9 older brothers and sisters, and
this was not a foster home.
This was not a foster home.
But still a lot of kids.
A lot of kids. I think one bathroom for all of us, so it was pretty tough growing up. My father was a coal miner, And so he moved to Alabama to work in the coal mines. And so we moved up there. And moving to Alabama was quite the experience. It's very nice there. There are churches everywhere. And when I was 14, September 13th, 1981, I accepted Christ into my life and got baptized. And it was just like a scene out of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, where we gathered at the river and, you know, we Baptists, they dunk us. So I was dunked, and my sister, one of my sisters, was baptized along with me. And anyone who says a Christian life, once I become a Christian, then my life just becomes 100% better, that didn't apply to me, because my Christian life was more like, you know, some people's scans when they go to the doctor as far as their heart rate, because it was very up and down. I moved to Denver in 1996 and met this wonderful man, and we got married and really decided that we have children. We have a responsibility to raise them as God would have us do. So it wasn't as much about me per se. It was the obligation that I knew we had that came from God to raise these children. And so we got involved in the church, and it has been great ever since. Is it perfect? No, but even Jesus told us it wouldn't be perfect. He just said he would always be there with us.
And this man you met is here today with us, Sam?
Yes.
Okay. So we've got, we're working on 20 years of marriage here?
We'll be celebrating 14 in January.
So we dated a while.
Gotcha. A little bit.
Okay. Well, Sam, just glad you closed the deal here with this pretty lady. So Bob, explain a couple of quick things about Gina's conversion, baptism and getting dunked. That could scare somebody that's listening, because I say you can use a garden hose and just spray people if you want to. Is that true?
Well, that's that church that meets in your backyard. That's probably no.
But baptism is an act of obedience, and it's...
Yeah, it's, you know, and of course, you know, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, that was one of the, you know, pieces of it, was that that as we go into the world, we're to make disciples, of all men and women, which basically means a follower. So Christ wanted people to follow him. And then he said, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And, you know, baptism really is something that came over from the Jewish faith, where when a Gentile would convert to Judaism, they would go through this ritual ceremony that would be like what we call baptism. And the concept was that they went down into the water as a Gentile and came out as a Jew. And so that kind of carried over into the Christian faith. But in the Christian faith, it was even more significant, because the, you know, the real imagery is that we die to an old way of life, and that baptism is almost like a burial, and we rise to newness of life in following Christ, and again, having new spiritual life in us because of Christ coming into our lives. So it's an important piece of an outward expression of something that's really happened inwardly in our life.
That's the voice of Bob Belts, my co-host today. I'm Bo Mitchell, and you're listening to You Get the Blessing. And we heard testimony from our guests, Sam and Gina Vintola, about how they had real-life conversions to Christ, made a choice to become followers of Jesus. And in Gina's case, she gave a specific date. So I have friends that refer to kind of a season in their lives when they can remember first time thinking about spiritual things and coming into a relationship. But I like that many, many people can pinpoint a time and a date, don't you?
Yeah, I can. I mean, you had a moment too where there was a definite decision on your part, and I think, you know, quoting you, because I've heard you tell the story before, I think you said, well, why wouldn't somebody do that, you know? And after Don Reverts had explained that to you, and in my case, our dear friend Rich Beach, that's now with the Lord, had you know, he'd kind of walked me through you know, what does it mean to be a Christian, really in a biblical sense, in terms of understanding that, you know, that sin separates us from God and we can't know his love and plan, but that's why Christ came to, you know, to be a bridge really between man and God, and to pay the price at the cross so that we could be forgiven and have a relationship with him. But, you know, and I think the important thing for me, because I don't know whether I believe that prior to knowing Richard, but I had some measure of information about that. And I think the important thing for me was when he said, you know, you've got to, everybody has to make a decision about this. And, you know, there's kind of three responses to knowing these things. One is that we kind of ignore it or, you know, let it drift. The other is we reject it outright and just say, you know, that's not for me. But the third is that we make a very conscious decision to say yes, to receive the gift that God offers in Christ and to open our lives to him. So, again, some people there's a process that it's kind of hard to know exactly when that line got crossed. But I think in many of our lives, you know, we can pinpoint it because we remember really praying and saying, Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've done for me and come into my life.
So, what was that date again, Gina?
September 13th, 1981.
Okay. So she received Jesus and then she received Sam as her husband. And life now is about serving others. So why don't you introduce, Bob, how that caught your attention, what they were doing with their lives as a couple.
Well, Sam and Gina, how long have you guys been Highline? You probably preceded me even coming. I can't remember.
We came to Highline along with the Colorado Community Church people.
Okay, great. So you actually, I was there a little bit earlier, but so Sam and Gina have been a part of our church, and Gina actually, who has an amazing voice, sings with our worship team, but they had a small group, and part of what they were doing in their small group was that twice a month they were putting together service projects to go out and to, you know, really put their faith into practice. And they were doing it as a small group. And then every other week they would have more of a time of prayer and sharing and, you know, kind of a community thing. And for a number of years, I was really hoping that we could, you know, create ways that people could get involved in serving situations. And I think for a lot of people, just taking the first step is really hard. You know, you either feel like, well, that's too overwhelming. You hear about, you know, some kind of a situation and think, I don't know how I could do that.
Or they think I can't be Mother Teresa and go to Calcutta. And that's obviously what serving is.
Exactly. And for me, part of the frustration was trying to find somebody that could, you know, step up and really take responsibility and just organize those kind of events. And Sam and Gina were already doing it. And you know, we talked and said, why don't we, you know, intentionally make this something that's more open and try and get people from the broader church community to come and be a part of these events. And so I'm going to let you guys talk a little bit about maybe even where you got the idea to do this, but then maybe tell us about some of the things you guys have done and how that's going.
Well, we were looking for a way to serve, and we started out by looking at other churches, really, and saying, okay, can we hook up with some other churches doing a lot of service ministry and help them? And we were investigating this, and at a certain point we said, you know, we belong to a church, and maybe we're being called to be leaders in some respect, to try to get people from our church to do these things and to set these things up ourselves. So instead of looking at somebody else's website, you know, and the programs they have to, you know, we can do this. I had actually been this of a church group that I was in before we got married. I was the service guy for that group. And so we decided, you know, we can do this. We can figure out ways we can serve. So we do kind of two different kind of events. One kind is where we basically go to a warehouse or something, just work for the Lord. We don't really meet people in need. We're just helping them out. Project Cure is an example of a project we're doing. Our next one's going to be World Vision. We've done four or five other things where we've served like that. And then the other ones are ones where we will either cook a meal for a church someplace or serve the homeless. We do a last winter, and we're going to start beginning of February, we did the men in our group would do a coffee ministry, a street ministry, meeting the people who are homeless downtown and giving them coffee and things that they might need and praying with them. So things like that, you know, just small ways really, but ways we can help out. The other thing that we're doing is you, Pastor, hooked us up with a church called New Life in Christ out on West Colfax, and they're doing a wonderful thing, and I think you had the guy from Main Street here on your show.
We did,
yeah. But and he talked about this happening, and it has since happened. They've opened a homeless shelter that's open on nights of cold weather out there in Lakewood. And so on Friday nights, if it's a Friday night and it's cold weather like that, a team from Highline will go out there and serve in the homeless shelter. And we've done that once, and our other team has done it twice.
Yeah. How was that, by the way? Because, you know, I think that's the kind of thing that a lot of people are afraid of. You know, it's like, well, I don't know if I could do that. But tell us what your experience was like.
Never felt in danger. Yeah. So that was never an issue. It's only families in the shelter. Mm-hmm. So there were a few little family disputes during the night, and it kind of contributed to not being able to sleep very well. Theoretically, you can sleep. We found that we basically weren't able to sleep. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a dangerous situation. It was just a situation where there are people in need and trying to treat them with respect and try to be helpful to them and try to get them, you know, in a place where they were safe and warm. And again, all of these were families, so they all had children. So that was, you know, kind of stark to see that, you know, there were children in need like that.
And one of the things that stood out for me as far as getting this together was I had just finished reading the book Seven by Jen Hatmaker, and she talked about their church in Austin. They had 5 Easter services planned for Easter Sunday morning, and they decided, we're going to bring Jesus to the community. So they canceled all their services. They called out people to bring their barbecue grills and meat and whatever, and they brought the worship team, and they went to the inner city in Austin, and they had Easter there with that community. And I said, when I read that, I said, that's what I want to do. That's what I think we should be doing. And so that really inspired us. Some of the other things that we have done in our Ronald McDonald House, where we've brought meals in to them. So God provides opportunities for us, whether it's in a Christian charity view or in the secular, more secular settings. But we feel we are called to both.
And that's what we're supposed to be doing in the Bible.
Yeah, and I think that's part of what I love about what you guys are doing, because at times, you know, there are places like New Life in Christ that, you know, we consider a kind of a sister church, you know, really, and we've had a long relationship. Actually, you know, Bo has been involved with Jack and New Life for how many years now? I don't know.
40? Since 1986.
Yeah. So anyway, but as a church, you know, I feel like as a suburban church, it's real important to be hooked in with an inner city church like New Life, more for our benefit, actually. I think, you know, I think the mindset oftentimes is, oh, let's go help meet needs. But I feel like we get so isolated in a world that almost isn't even real when you think about it, and that being able to enter into friendship and relationships with people in the city is I always feel like we benefit more from that. But
And I like to say, when you've done it unto the least of these, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, somebody said that.
I don't think I said that first. Somebody. Maybe you can remember.
But it's the great spirit of it, too. You know, we were talking earlier about Mother Teresa, and, you know, one of the things that always impressed me about what she did is because of that passage in Matthew where Jesus said, whenever you've done it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. She really had a mindset when she served that if she would see a dying person, which was part of what they did, can you imagine that, going out into the streets of Calcutta and with a little, you know, cart and picking up people that have been left in the street to die and then bringing them back to a situation where they're loved and cared for and can die with dignity? And same thing with orphans, because again, in the Indian culture, oftentimes if a family doesn't want a child, they just leave it out exposed to die. And so they would go out looking for, you know, abandoned babies too and bring them in. But what she said is that when she would see a person in that situation, in her mind, what would get triggered is, there is Jesus in a desperate situation. And so for her, very literally, you know, actually taking care of someone in need is as if you're taking care of Jesus. So, and we're all called to that. I mean, I think that's the part of what churches struggle with, because, and I feel this way, you get so enmeshed in your own issues and struggles and just trying to keep the wheels on the bus that it's really hard to shift that focus and get out an outward focus, which is what Christ called us to. So I think that's why what Sam and Gene are doing, are it's critical for us. And again, I hope it's a model for, you know, others that aren't quite sure how do we really, you know, live out what we say we believe, and particularly into the lives of those, you know, that, and again, Mother Teresa's calling was to the most unlovely of the unloveliest, people that had absolutely nothing they could give in return for their service to them. So
I can remember in I guess I'm not remembering it clearly, about 1981, early in the year, Bob said to me, "I think we should start a church." And I'm like, "Oh, brother, are you kidding? What, don't we need a place to meet and a staff?" And he said, "Yeah,
I think the first thing you said to me was, I don't like churches."
I did.
To which I said, "I think that's why we should start a church."
I was trying to forget that part. Yeah. But anyway, we did. I mean, I guess we did because we didn't know any better. And I certainly had never been a part of anything like that. Bob had been a part of a church out in Aurora that was doing well. But it's just interesting that God laid this on y'all's heart and you said, "Let's do this." And a leader needed to surface. It was you guys. And now you have other couples coming with you and seeing it's not as hard as it looks. Just take the first step and get involved.
Right, right. We've only been at the homeless shelter three times. Twice it was a different team. It wasn't us. So it's kind of nice that not only our service, but all the help that other people are giving is kind of nice to see that we can help facilitate that.
Well, I love what you're doing as a couple. So what are you looking forward to next, Jeannie? You got any service projects on the plan?
We do have Friday night, possibly, at the New Life in Christ shelter. We also have World Vision coming up.
January 2nd.
We also have a project where it's in the works of around the same time the men are going to go out and do the coffee, is have people get together at our house and assemble those bags that have toothpaste and those small toiletry items that you could just give someone. I know we get that question a lot. Some people say, "Well, I can't really go out and do these things." But you can keep something in your car and say, "Here, God bless you.
Have this.
Have this."
So call Highline Community Church to get in touch with
I was going to say, Sam and Gina do a really good job of keeping these things up and in front of people on the Highline Community Church Facebook page. So, you know, if you're listening and want to know what's going on or how to get involved, I would encourage you just to go to Facebook and look up Highline Community Church, and you'll see things that are coming up. And the other thing is I'd really encourage you, if you'd like to get hooked in with some of what they're doing, just, you know, again, the contact info for Highline is on that site, and call us and we'll try and get you in touch with you guys, if that's okay with you. We'll pass along anybody that that wants to help.
And don't be afraid, folks. This is exciting. It may be the first time you think about this, you get a little flinchy, but, you know, you got somebody like Bob looking at you saying, "Hey, let's start a church." Really? Okay. Now that church has thousands of members. Now Sam and Gina are reaching hundreds of people in this town, and they need you to jump on board with them. It'll bless you, as we say. So keep up the good work, y'all.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say, because I know a lot of people from Highline listen to our show, we need more of you. We really need more of our own folks to get engaged and jump in and get involved. And again, the name of our show, You Get the Blessing, so true. That if you, kind of step out in faith and try and serve, that you'll be the one that gets the blessing.
Thanks, Bob, for getting these folks here. And Sam and Gina, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we'll see you guys at 10:30 this morning, hopefully, at Highline. And anybody listening, you're always welcome. We're just south of Shepler's on the frontage road there, kind of Orchard and I-25, and come and just come be a part of what we're doing.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Good.